In other words, I'm going to be doing this off the top of my head. Alright? Just off the top of my head. But what you're going to do in your Bible is, we're going to turn to our first passage. You may want to, in the beginning of your Bible somewhere, put a little notation, put a little line on a page, you know, on the top of the page saying, baptism chain reference. You see? Baptism chain reference. Once you do that, then you'll be able to, it'll give you, you'll have baptism chain reference, start, and you'll have the first verse. And the first verse you might as well go to is Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, we could have started with John 3, verses 3 through 5, and then others, but that's where we'll start, Acts 2 and verse 38. Alright? And we're just going to go through every passage. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time with them because we've spent a lot of time with most of these. You understand them. We're just going to go through, look at what they say, see the point, and move on. Because this is what you might use if somebody says, all right, why is baptism so important? Well, you could go from passage to passage and show them the power of what you're saying, how important baptism is for salvation. People say, well, it's not important. Well, if it isn't, you wouldn't be able to have this much power from the scriptures saying that it is. Alright? In Acts 2, verse 37, the Jews, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, oh, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, just pray that Jesus will come into your heart. No, that's not what he said. He said, repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for... what for? For the forgiveness of sins. Now that word for there, I'll just make a mention of it so you, if somebody springs this on you in the future, you'll be ready. Right. Now that word is ace. E-I-S is the way you write it. Ace. It's pronounced like we would probably pronounce A-C-E, ace. But it's I-E-I-S in the Greek. And that means in order to obtain, unto, or toward, in the direction of, the forgiveness of sins, for the forgiveness of sins, unto the forgiveness of sins. All right? Now, there are some Baptist theologians that teach that the word ace means because of the forgiveness of sins. And they will bring up passages where the word ace does mean because of, or has been used to mean because of. However, I will be quick to point out to them, and I have the literature at home if you need it. I have every single Baptist scholar of the Greek, every single one of them, unanimously agree that this means unto or toward in the direction of the forgiveness of sins. None of them believes it means because of. So those that know better know that that doesn't mean what a lot of theologians are saying to me. What it really means is that that's what they're going to be doing it for. They asked, what should we do? He told them, be baptized. Repent and be baptized. What for? For the forgiveness of sins. Now, if they say, oh, you can repent and be baptized, and the baptism is because of the forgiveness of sins, and that's where they get this statement, it's an outward sign of an inward grace. If that's what they want to teach, then you'd also have to apply that to repent, for it's in the same passage. So therefore, they'd have to repent because of the forgiveness of sins. That would mean that God gives the forgiveness of sins even before repentance. You see? No good. NG. All right? So then it goes on to say repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we've gone into that in other studies. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. It's a seal, it's a down payment, it's a token of your inheritance. Alright? He sends to your hearts to cry out, Abba Father, and the rest of that. So we won't go into that at this point, but what we're looking at right now is the need and necessity for baptism. Now, I like the verse 41. It really stresses home. I have a lot of people who argue with what is being said from Acts 2 and verse 38. And I just have to ask them the question, why won't you gladly receive the word?
and react the same way they did? For in verse 41 it says, so then those who received his word, and King James will say those who gladly received his words were baptized. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Okay? 3,000 souls. So now the point is this. If you want to receive the word, if you receive the word, what's your natural reaction going to be when you receive the word? You're baptized. If you receive the word, you're baptized. So those that aren't baptized, for the reasons that Peter stated, haven't received the word. You see that? It's very plain, very simple. There it is. Those that received Peter's word were baptized. So those that refused baptism for the reasons that Peter stated, for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they're rejecting the word. They're not receiving the word. They're not receiving it with gladness. What are they doing? They're arguing with it, rebelling against it, and yet still claiming to be Christians. All right? They're a living contradiction. They're a living contradiction. Okay, what you'll do now is in your Bible, you'll take your pen and you will mark right by verse 38, or at the end of 41, if you want, B-A-P-T, somewhere in the margin, B-A-P-T, which is an abbreviation for baptism, all right? You just write it very small. Because the reason why is this. If you ever decide to have another chain reference in your Bible for another subject, and you hear the same passage, then you can go off in two different directions, and one will be with what the subject you were studying, another one may be an entirely different subject, and you'll end up on the wrong chain. You understand what I'm saying? All right, say for instance, I'm studying the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm studying, not baptism. And I come to Acts 2, verse 38, where it says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I see another little reference. Only the next reference is not going to be Acts 22, 16, but it's going to be, I don't know, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Well, when I see that, I may go off in the wrong direction and start looking up on baptism instead of the Holy Spirit. I may go to the baptism reference. So what I'm going to have to do is, when I make change in my Bible, with the next passage I'm supposed to turn to, in the chain, I'm going to have to think of that passage as a link, and I'm going to have to label the link in the chain. I'm going to have to label that link in the chain, baptism or Holy Spirit or whatever, which one I'm going on. So I don't get confused and crisscrossing the chains. Alright, that's why I'm telling you to put B-A-P-T, period, and then go ahead and give your next reference. So the next reference, what did I give? Acts 22, verse 16? All right. So the next reference we're going to go to is Acts 22 and verse 16. In Acts 22 verse 16, this is Paul's own account of his own conversion. Okay, and he's told by Ananias, and now why do you delay? Arise, and the baby can't do that, right? So it can't be imperfected. Arise, and be baptized. Alright? Be immersed. Now, it's an action that he must take. He must arrive and he must be baptized. It's something that he must do. It's not something that somebody says, well, let's talk about Holy Spirit baptism. Well, if it is, then you don't have to command Ananias to do anything. You don't have to be arising, you don't have to sit down, you don't have to, he can be lying down. I mean, if that's what it was talking about, it wouldn't matter what his position was. Alright? And you wouldn't be giving the command to him anyway. So the command is for something, some response that Paul can give. Was then Saul of Tarsus. He says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name, or calling on the name of the Lord. Alright? Now, calling on his name means calling on his authority. That you're being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in order to wash away your sins and it's by Christ's authority. It's by God's authority. Now, some people say, what washes away your sin? Don't you dare say baptism. Don't you dare say baptism, because that's not what the passage says. Baptism doesn't wash away sins. according to Revelation chapter 3 and other passages in the book of Hebrews and what have you, you just look these up. Those that are saved have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can we sing a song? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We don't say nothing but the waters of baptism. Alright? However, so what washes away our sins? The blood of Jesus. Where? In baptism. That's the where, not the what. And so you may even want to put a notation in your Bible later on saying, wash away your sins, and be baptized and wash away your sins. You might want to put out to the side, this is talking about the where, not the what. You may want to explain that. The blood of Jesus is what washes away sin. And baptism is where it occurs. Or is when it occurs. When you're washed in the watery grave of baptism. Alright? So this is what we would put here. Now, in order to back this up, the next scripture reference in this chain, you'll put B-A-P-T at the end of verse 16. B-A-P-T at the end of verse 16. And you're going to put Hebrews to show this. Hebrews chapter 10, I believe. Just let me look it up. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Did you write it in there? B-A-P-T, Hebrews 10, verse 22. Okay. Yeah, because if you're going to write B-A-P-T, you might as well put the verse right there, too, when you go on. Otherwise, you're going to have to go through that. But that's fine. All right, now, in Hebrews 10, verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. See, so it's not enough to have a sincere heart. You have, full assurance of faith. Now we learn from James 2 that it can't be faith only. It must be faith coupled with works, and by works is faith made perfect. James 2, verse 14 and following. Now, therefore it says, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What? That's interesting. That our bodies are to be washed with pure water. Okay? So, you put that together with Acts 22:16. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. There you go. That's how you have that full assurance, that confidence, proving that you have a sincere heart. Alright? The full assurance of hope. Okay? Full assurance of faith. Having having sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Now, we're going to look up another passage. In the next one, you have B-A-P-T. B-A-P-T. And then you'll have Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. B-A-P-T, Ephesians 5, verse 26. And he's talking about the church here. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, that's the church, having cleansed her, washed her, cleansed or washed, same word, cleansed her by the what? By the washing of what? Water, with the word. So, with the word of God, according to the word of God, by the word of God, the church is cleansed by the washing of water. What does Hebrews 10:22 say? Having our bodies washed with pure water. Acts 22:16 said, you just go back and review now. Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. See how that all fits together now? See how it all comes together? There's no discrepancies. There's no problem. In fact, everything agrees. And now we're learning about the importance of the water. The importance of the water that it plays. Now, we're going to notice that we have to realize, and I'm just reading something here, that's why I'm pausing here, that again, the water is the element or in which we are, that is the where, and that is the when. The where is in baptism, when is when we're baptized, what washes? It's the blood of Jesus, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Where do you have contact with the blood? In baptism. Now we're going to show that in a little while from Romans 6. There's just one more passage I wanted to look up here. And then, yeah, okay. If the next passage you'll put is by, at the end of, where were we, Ephesians? You'll put, you'll have B-A-P-T, Titus 3, and verse 5. Titus 3 and verse 5. And it says, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. When we poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, look at that. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to see the same thing taught in John 3:3-5. That's where we're going to go next. Let's look at John chapter 3. The next one, well, you have to write B-A-P-T, John 3, verses 3-5. Now the washing of regeneration means to be regenerated is to be reborn. To be renewed. Alright? And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So you have the washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Spirit. A renewing, a rebirth coming from the Holy Spirit. Now, you have B-A-P-T at the end of verse 5, John 3, verses 3-5. And that's where Jesus discusses what it means to be born again. Now we're going to consider whether or not that water there is Jesus. You see? Now, yeah, alright. It's washing of pure water by the Word that was before. Okay? Washing of pure water by the Word. Now, you wash the pure water by the Word. So the Word is the water. See, in Ephesians, let me just look at, show you that. There are going to be a lot of people that will say that in John chapter 3, the water there is Jesus, and the Spirit there is the Holy Spirit. If that be true, then what do they do with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26? It said that He, that is Jesus, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the what? The washing of water, that's Jesus, with the Word. Wait a minute, that's supposed to be Jesus too. See, they don't like to look at the Bible as the Word. They say, oh, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, there are passages which refer to Jesus as the Word. There are other passages referred to the Bible, the Scriptures, as the Word. There are passages that refer to Jesus' words as the Word. So the context is going to determine how the word Word is used. So for them to say this is not real water, but this is Jesus, all right? If it's the washing of water, it's the washing of Jesus, with the Jesus. No, it doesn't work. Okay? It doesn't work out. Now let's look at John 3, verses 3-5, and see what Jesus says to Nicodemus. There's this Nicodemus coming to Jesus, sneaking around at night, coming to him. And he came to him, and this is in a continuing tense, so he was in the practice of coming to him by night. He came to him regularly. He was always asking him. And he says to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, but no man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus said to him, here's the whole point. What is the point? Oh, yeah, look at these signs. Aren't they great? No. What does Jesus go to right away? How to be born again. How to see God. How to be in the kingdom of God. Salvation. That's what it's all about. The truth. Okay, so he says, truly, truly. Really, really, I'm not kidding around. I'm really meaning business now. I say to you, unless one is born again, all right? Literally, born from above, or renewed, all right? Given a new lease on life, he cannot see the kingdom of God, okay? He must undergo a complete change in the way he thinks, all right? The way he lives, all right? This is what it's talking about, being born again. He's got a whole new life now. Unless it does, the person goes through this, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't even see it. Okay? Now, Nicodemus asks him, explain this to me. How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Now, he wasn't expecting an answer to that question. I mean, in other words, literally, for him to come back to Jesus. He wasn't asking Jesus, how can a man crawl back into his mother's womb? What he was doing is using a question to get Jesus to, right, clarify yourself. You're saying born again, born from above. All right? So now tell me what you're talking about. Verse 5. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water, the washing of pure water by the word, the washing of regeneration, having our bodies washed with pure water, all those references now. All right? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Look at all these wash passages. Unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit. Now in Titus 3 verse 5, what did it say? The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Born of the water and of the Spirit. See it? It's identical. It's a parallel. Right? Unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, somebody says, well, the born of the water there, that's when he's born. That's his water burst. And another one is, and the other one is the Spirit. Number one problem is that what happens when a person has a dry birth? There's such a thing as a dry birth, where the water isn't present when the person is being born. Are you going to tell me when that person is born because they were a baby and they had a, what they call a dry birth, that the baby's not going to go to heaven if he grows up or if he died? Because this is one of the conditions. Must be born of water. Number two is this. They'll say, well, that's Jesus. All right? Fine. Let's just give you some reason why you believe that in this text. I mean, there's a reason why we believe that Jesus is the Word in John chapter 1. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Where in this passage does it say Jesus is the water? Nowhere. Not anywhere through the rest of the chapter. Okay? Now, another point to consider is that Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asks, explain that again birth. What are you talking about? How does a person undergo the again birth? He says, the again birth then consists of being born of water and born of the Spirit. That's the again birth. So he's not discussing, all right, you have to be born of water, that's when you're born, and then you've got to be born again, and that's of the Spirit. No. Because Jesus is explaining the again birth of verse 3. So you must be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Let's see. Let's see here. So you'd have to put at the end of verse 5 there, you put B-A-P-T, B-A-P-T, and then you'd put the next reference. B-A-P-T, and then the next reference. And that next reference would be, oh, let's see, Acts chapter 10 and verse 47. Acts 10 and verse 47. This is the conversion of Cornelius. Alright? Well, I believe the baptism is with the Holy Spirit. Alright? Well, that's what they say. Baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's what people say. Alright? Well, then let's just see which one they believed in. You know, which one did they practice? Some people teach that Cornelius had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's why he spoke in tongues. Because it says that the Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles. That means he was baptized. No. Pour is the Greek word ko. Poured out, ko. And baptized is baptizo. Alright? So it's two different things. Now verse 47 he says, surely, Peter says, surely
No one can refuse the water that for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, or in the same way we did, can he? And what is he referring to when he said just as we did? He's referring back to Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. So it was a sign to Peter that the Gentiles should also be saved. Right? They have access to God as well as the Jews. It was a sign to Peter, and that's why Peter responds and saying, hey, look, who could forbid that these shouldn't be baptized also? Now, how did he say that, though? Who could forbid the water? Surely no one can forbid the water. He's saying, bring on the water. Let's go to the water. You know? We gotta, where's a pool? Where's a lake? Where's a river? Well, come on. We gotta baptize these people. Alright? Now, did they use water to be baptized? Now, if they said, no, that's still talking about Jesus. Alright? Number one, they'll say, what does that word water mean there in that passage? And I'll say, H2O. H2O, that's what it means. That's what it means. H2O. That's what it means in the Greek. H2O. Now, let's go and look at another example. I would put B-A-P-T at the end of verse 47, B-A-P-T, and then I would put Acts 8, verses 35-39. B-A-P-T, Acts 8, 35-39. We're showing water, water, water. We're showing, first we went through wash, 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 and what they were washed in, they were washed by water, but in water, our bodies having washed with pure water and so forth. But what washed away their sins was the blood of Jesus. Now we're going to come to the passage that shows us that baptism is where we come in contact with the blood. But right now, we're just doing it. We're showing it that there's still water. In Acts 8, verse 35, it says, and Philip opened his mouth, beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And if you wonder why sometimes I'm reading words that aren't in there, like sometimes, what it is I'm quoting from the King James. See, I've memorized a good part of the Bible. So what I've done is sometimes, instead of reading it, I'm looking up at you, I'm quoting. And if it reads a little differently, if you read along in your King James, it would be exact. See, when I went to school, I memorized the New Testament in the King James Version. All right, that's what I quoted it in, when we had to memorize the Bible at school. So when I did my memory work, I did it from the King James. And so that's why occasionally you'll hear me quoting, and it's like coming out of the King James Version, because that's what it is. All right? And sometimes I'm quoting from the New American Standard. I've learned to see the difference in the speech and so forth. But that's occasionally why I'm doing it. You know? It's not unintentional, and it's not an intentional addition. If you read it in the King James Version, you'd see that the words are there. Anyway, the reason why I brought that up is, and Philip opened his mouth in the beginning of the same scripture. That's the way it reads at the King James. Anyway, New American Standard says, beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He preached unto him Jesus, King James says. Okay? And as they went along the road, they came to some water. Alright, if you want to say that's Jesus, they came to some Jesus. And the eunuch said, look, Jesus, which prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the Jesus.
Yeah, really.
And Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord... You see, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, really.
All right, so the water is water, H2O.
What denomination says that's Jesus?
Oh, a lot of them say that John... They don't say it's Jesus here. They say the water is Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 3 and following, 3 through 5. You must be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Yeah. They say the water there is Jesus.
But where do they get Jesus? No, how do they get... No.
Jesus in there? They don't want to believe in baptism.
Really?
Well, all right, they went down into the... They both went down and they said, look, here's the word. What, they see a Bible laying there? You know? All right, we're gonna go down into the Word now. We're gonna rise up out of the Word. All right, now that's talking about water, H2O, no doubt about it. And that's why I gave you this as one of the next two references after John 3 to show you it's really talking about real water. All right. Now, and he baptized him. right? And they were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. Okay, now, at the end of verse 39, you put V-A-P-T. V-A-P-T. And, let's see. Of course, we put Acts chapter 8 then. Acts 8, verses 12 and 13. What you do is you just put Acts 8, 12 to 13 as the next reference. So you don't have one page to turn. Or not even. But when they received Philip, when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women alike. I mean, that was their response. So then I would ask somebody who goes to a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church or a denominational church, I'd say, now, in your church, when people believe the preacher preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, what do they do? Oh, they jump up and down, they praise, shout hallelujah, they run forward, they fall down in the fetish place, they fall down, hit their heads on the chair, go into convulsions, and look like they're possessed with demons, and they're supposed to be slain in the spirit. Mm-hmm. See? Then, well, they run around the place. One guy was running around the place. He says, I didn't know what I was doing. I ran around the place 7 times. My wife asked him, how'd you know you ran around 7 times? And he went, What do you mean you didn't know what you were doing? How'd you know it was 7 times? You're a liar. Okay, so anyway, how do they respond? How do they respond? Oh, then they're baptized the third Sunday of the month. No. It says, when they believed Philip preaching, they were baptized. Children and babies. No. Men and women alike. Alright? Okay. Next reference. And then also, verse 13. And Simon himself also believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip and observed the signs and great miracles taking place were constantly amazed. At the end of that verse, do you want to ask something?
Yeah, you can argue with people, like, you know, stuff you talk about, it's normal, like, you know, but you get these, you know, idiotic people that say that, how do you know, men and women doesn't mean, children, like, you know, in their teens.
Because there's different words. Well, it might be people in their teens, I don't know. But I know this, but there's a different...
calling a boy and girl, a man and woman, you know what I mean?
Alright. Boy and girl, no, there's different words in the Greek for boy and girl. Mm. Yeah. For children. Yeah, right. There's a different Greek word for children as there is for adults. Mm. Okay? So that settles that argument. This is the words for women and men. Mm. Alright? Adults. Grown-ups. Whatever. Okay, next scripture, remember, we put B-A-P-T at the end of verse 13. And we turn to Acts chapter 16. Okay. Verse 16. We're trying Acts chapter 16, right, not verse 16. Acts 16, it'll see B-A-P-T, Acts 16, and verses 13 through 15. Acts 16, 13 through 15. That will be the next reference. Then we looked at it. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside. That shows another thing, too. They weren't worshiping on the Sabbath day and coming together on the Sabbath day. They were out traveling around on the Sabbath day, which means they didn't worship on the Sabbath day. Or the seventh day of the week. Good point, see?
Mm, put that in my other...
Right, stuff. You can put it up on your other study on the Sabbath day and stuff. Okay, so they went outside the gate to a river side. All right, that's water, right? Or is that a Jesus side? I mean, is that a word side? No, it's a riverside. It's talking about water, right? Where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. There had been some women there. Right? They assembled. Either it was the wash clothes, or it was praying. Probably it wasn't praying. See, they had found out there was a place of prayer where women would go to pray by the riverside. And he said, that's what we went there, supposing that we'd find a place of prayer. And there were women there, and we began talking to them. right? So he says, speaking to the women that are assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, fine linen, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. All right, so she had the word preached to her, she listened, her heart was open, respond to the things that were Lord, so forth. How did she respond? And that would be the question in verse 14. You'd write right after verse 14, how did she respond? Put an arrow to verse 15. And when she and her household had been baptized, how did they respond to the word of God? Let's just look at responses from the Bible. For Acts chapter 2 says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, they were baptized. And when Lydia responded to the word spoken by Paul, she was, and her household, baptized. See? Acts 8, with the eunuch, well, how did he respond? He says, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He says, I did. He baptized me. The response is baptism. You can see it time after time after time. Alright? So, when she opened her heart to respond, how did the Lord open her heart to respond? And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, how did she consider herself to be judged faithful to the Lord? By responding. How? By being baptized. And now, after being baptized, she says, if you judge me now because of what's happened, faithful to the Lord, then come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. What does that mean? She succeeded. She got us to stay. We ended up staying. Why? Because they judged her faithful to the Lord. She says, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, please come to my house and stay. So, she did. They did. Which means she was. Which means she responded. How was that? She was baptized. There you go. Can't get around it. See how powerful these passages are when you look at them and break them apart and look at them? Okay. Acts chapter 16, you put with as the next reference. At the end of that verse 15, then, you would put B-A-P-T, Acts 16, and verse 30 through 34. 30 through 34. B-A-P-T, 30 through 34. And after they brought them out, this is the jailer now, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your whole household. Okay? Alright? Oh, then they were saved then. They just believed. No? Then they had spoke the word of the Lord to them together with all the house. So they heard the word, right? They spoke the word to them. And they took them the very hour of the night. Right? Took them the very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized. He and all his household. There. In response to the word. In response to the word preached to him. And his whole household heard the word. Which means there weren't kids that couldn't understand. Alright, or respond. So now you have this household, and they said, yeah, there was children there. I go, there was, huh? Really? Children. Give me their ages. Just approximate. They don't have to be exact. Just give me their ages.
That's really.
Okay. Well, how do you know they're not children? I don't know. Just children can't give the response that Jesus demands. How do you know they are? Well, supposing they're children. Supposing they're not. I mean, as long as you're supposing they're not. Especially since the fact that they're hearing and responding to the word as men and women. Okay? Now, we'll see. So he takes them the very hour of the night and washed their wounds. Whose wounds? Paul and Silas. Where? In what? Did he wash them in Jesus? Did he wash them in the word? Where did he wash them here? You wash them in water. That's what you wash wounds with, okay? You wash them in the water. And what happened? And immediately, I mean, he didn't waste any time. It wasn't the third Sunday of the month, okay? It wasn't the next available Sunday of baptism or baptizing. It was immediately. Immediately. King James says, straightway, he and all his were baptized. Okay? Immediately he was baptized, he and his whole household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with all his household. When does it say believe? Having believed. Past tense, but it was stated that he did this after he was baptized. Having believed is mentioned. Does it say he having believed and then he was baptized? Notice that. Does it say having believed and that motivated him to be baptized in this case? The belief that, in other words, that verse 31 is saying, where he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the kind of belief that is coupled with works, faith and works. Belief that it motivates you to do something. Alright? Which in this case was, he was immediately baptized. Again, what was the response to hearing the word of the Lord? And he immediately was baptized. Didn't waste any time. Didn't beat around the bush. It was the same hour of the night. Took him this very hour of the night, verse 33. Alright? Again, you see the response to baptism, to the word as well, when the word is preached. So, now the response is Acts 2. They received his word. Receiving the word, you're baptized. Alright? Acts 8, when they believed for the preaching things of the concerning the kingdom of God, they were baptized. Lydia, her heart was caused to respond to the word. She and her whole household were baptized. Acts chapter 8, the eunuch was baptized. Acts 16 again. The jailer immediately was baptized. He and his whole household. In response to the word of God, when they heard the word. Now, is that the way they do it in denominations? How about the Baptist church? It's not the way they do it. It's just not the way they do it. So if you want to look for church structure, there's more problems than just church structure. And there's more problems than just the way they're teaching baptism, is the point of even the way they're practicing it. This is not practiced the way it was in the New Testament times. Oh, sure could. That's why they did it immediately, because they realized they needed to be washed with pure water. Having their conscience sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And that's what we're going to look at next. So you'll turn your tapes over now, so they don't go blank.